NCAA Football 13 is in the books. This is the latest edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by Jeremy and Tommy. Tommy, how are you?
Doing pretty good. It's a hot summer, but otherwise pretty good.
Jeremy?
I'm fine, thank you.
NCAA 13 in the books. Been out a few weeks now. Time to soak it up. You know, let the buzz wear off a little bit. Figure out what people like, what they don't like, what needs addressed, whether it be in a patch or for NCAA Football 14. Let's get right to the kind of the reviews, our own, and also talk about some of the media and also what the community at large is saying about the game. Let's just get right into our just general thoughts on the game, and let's just fire away. Tommy, generally, just what are your thoughts on NCAA Football 13?
I think I kind of summed it up pretty well in my review of the game just before release. Basically, it's a good game, but at the same time, there's way too many issues to make it a great game, and also, as I mentioned in the review, to kind of win back some of the fans that were upset about 12. 12 had too many issues, and everybody expected 13 to come out of the gate without those issues and cleaning up some of the old stuff. But instead, it came out with its own issues, including, to me, one of the worst issues that's still in the game, even after the first patch, is the fact that the mindless option defenders are still there and that they won't play against the option. That's something that was presented late with 12, never got fixed with 12, and then it comes back in 13, and so far we haven't heard anything about it.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts on NCAA Football 13 so far?
Well, I kind of disappointed that there is so much wrong with it right now. I mean, it's just like 12, you know, everything, you know, I can enjoy the game, but there are a lot of things with coverages. There's still some errors with online dynasties. I don't think we have the rampant transfer fail, but we have come across an issue or two with the online dynasty. You know, just the minor things that really kind of crippled 12 are kind of still in for 13, and you know, and we really don't have much hope that the next patch is really going to fix everything. But with that, it's annoying. It like Tommy said, it keeps it from being a great game, but it's still a good game. It's still good to get with everybody. I'm in, you know, four online dynasties, three where we're playing every game, and one where we're just recruiting, and you know, I can still have fun with that. A lot of the little wrinkles with scouting and the team grades and everything, it adds a little bit of some nice touches to Dynasty. But you know, all in all, there wasn't really a monumental leap. Nothing really wowed us, and so and then with the problems of 12 carrying over, it kind of dampers things. But at the same time, it's still a good game and fun to play.
I think I'm in the same boat you guys are, where I want to start by saying I'm enjoying the game and having fun with it, but there are a ton of bugs, and it's bad enough when new features come in and have bugs. I don't want to say that's expected, but in this day and age, you kind of expect a few issues. But what really gets me is when legacy issues are still in the game. When Tommy talks about some of the option stuff that emerged late in 12 through patches, still in 13, the zone coverage bug is still in 13. That really bothers me, and I think really, and I've seen it a lot in the community, that really hurts the enjoyment for them. In the reviewers from the media sites, one theme I saw a lot was that they said this game feels a lot like 12. And I don't know if I completely agree with that. It depends, I guess, what mode they're playing and what they're doing. That in a dynasty, online dynasty, when I'm in a game and I'm playing, between some of the gameplay improvements, between the studio updates, the ESPN ticker, to me it doesn't feel like the same game. I can kind of see where they're coming from, but I think that's not fair. But I will say, if they, for the reviewers that said, and some of them implied this and some said this, for features that have been added over the last couple of years that didn't receive an update or upgrade or annoyances addressed, yes, Coaching Carousel feels exactly like 12. Team Builder feels like 12, if not an earlier version. Custom Conferences feels like last year. Online play, the structure, feels like it's been since forever. That there's a lot of things in the game that, while it's a benefit to have so many features and relative depth, EA isn't adding on this depth over the course of the years. So in certain game aspects, it does feel like 12, if not even an earlier version of the game. Is that something that you guys agree with or disagree with? Jeremy, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, you know, to me, things looking the same, say, like with Dynasty and Coaching Carousel, the look of it, that's perfectly fine with me. But it does bother me that nothing has really gotten touched. Team Builder hasn't gotten touched since it was implemented. you know, back in, I believe it was 10, and it just like one reviewer, I can't remember which site it was, but they said this framework has been around for too long, and it's kind of run its course. It's time for a change. It's time to really freshen things up. And
mm-hmm.
you know, looking the look and feel, I mean, we got an ESPN theme, so we're not really going to change a whole lot there. You know, maybe the menus, that doesn't really bother me at all. It's just the fact that nothing is getting built upon, and that's why the reviewers, their main thing is when they're looking at the game, it feels like the same game because it the framework is that way. But as for the presentation, I don't think that's where they're getting at. I think it's the core framework of everything. It's just been the same for too long.
Well, I think there's a lot of different points that need to be made here. For one, most of these reviewers probably play the game, you know, right around the time that it's released, you know, pre-released, just to review the game. You know, they may play a little bit throughout the year, but I bet most likely, if at best, they'll play it at release and then play it around national championship time, maybe a little bit in between. The people that don't play the game yearly from July to June, then those people, yeah, it's definitely going to feel like a very similar game. To me, I'm one that I do play it from July to June, and to me, 13 does feel like a new game as far as the gameplay aspects and everything go. It's just a matter of there are small nuances that make changes, and there's no brand new mechanics or anything like that really are revolutionary. So I can definitely see where somebody would say that it is the same game as 12, or, you know, somebody who probably hasn't even played it since, you know, NCAA 09 or 08 or something like that could probably say, well, this is the same game I played before. And by and large, you know, a football game is going to be a football game. You're not going to have major changes. Although that brings me to my next point, what they kind of, on the other hand, kind of need to do is do major changes. They need to have these overhauls in areas to where they essentially rip out everything that they have in a particular area. For example, the next one that to me definitely needs to have is the interactions for offensive and defensive line. Just rip it out completely. And then bring in a brand new mode or a brand new feature set that really just wows people. And it, when you just kind of build on something that's already bad, then nobody's going to give you a whole lot of credit for it. Yeah, it's going to be updated. Yeah, your hardcore guy's going to notice it a little bit, but it's just really not going to wow anybody. And I think that's what Madden did this year with the connected careers. You know, it really is a rip it out and recreate it, and that's why some of the features were lost in transition. But that's kind of what you have to do. Take a step back in order to take steps forward. I'm not going to give too much credit for the new physics engine because I haven't had hands-on time with it myself, but everything I've heard people say is that, well, it's just new animations for the old same old gameplay. We'll have to see what happens when Madden comes out at the end of this month, but at the same time, it's one of those things that they really do need to do that sort of thing, is just rip out and bring back fresh in order to really get credit for making this an innovative game.
Yeah, and then another thing is with NHL. I mean, a lot of people didn't really have a lot to talk about with NHL, and then they came out with their own kind of connected careers thing, where you could essentially be playing in a league with 750 other guys, and that's just something that's unheard of. And then there's just so many new possibilities that you can build upon that. You know, you can either, you know, play with your buddies on the same team, or you each take a team. You know, you take on random guys from the nation. You know, there was just so many brand new dynamics that they added with that, and it's that dynamic that really lacked with NCAA, because the big thing that they were pushing this year was Heisman Challenge, but to the casual and the hardcore guy, it just looks like a rehash of Road to Glory.
That's something that's a good point. Your first, both points are really good there, Jeremy. The first one being NCAA football kind of started this with Online Dynasty. That was kind of what started this. It was really a shock and really just a great feature when it came out. And it really hasn't built on that much in that time. Whereas now we've seen Madden with connected careers, NHL with their, I believe GM Connect is what they're calling it, something like that, with, you know, 750 guys. Madden's going to let you be a player or a coach or whatever you want to be in their connected careers, whereas NCAA football hasn't even taken the next step to kind of get to connected careers. I think, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it feels like online team play in Madden, you know, getting that technology, the focus to go in and redo Superstar Mode and then get rid of that and make it part of Connected Careers showed kind of the evolution that Madden took. NCAA football hasn't even addressed anything of the sort with the online team play, online communities, just a lot of features that when you sit down and think about every feature that's been added to the game in the last 5 or 6 years, there's so many features that I bet we could go back and listen to former podcasts and we sit here and say, you know, this is a really good start for year one. But we've yet to say this is a great year two. I don't know any feature really that we can sit here and say that about. Online Dynasty, we really couldn't say that. They didn't, you know, we're still stuck with 12 guys. Just the structure is very, very similar. The coaching carousel, nothing really added there. Dynamic pitches in the recruiting, I think is a big help, but that's not a head-turner. And that's really what kind of the franchise needs, where I can see where a lot of these reviewers say it feels the same. I don't agree with it completely, but I do see where they're coming from. And like you said, Tommy, I would guess that most of these guys don't play an online Dynasty. So they're not going to see, or even a Dynasty period, so they're probably not going to see most of that ESPN stuff. And if you're not playing that, then I can really see then where, you know, maybe this is why they say it feels the same or plays the same, because they're missing out on so much of what that has been, of what has been added is getting overlooked. Let's go to your second. Go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, you brought up a good point kind of along the same lines, is that there are still features that Madden introduced years ago that NCAA hasn't even sniffed on. Online team play, being able to assign a specific defensive player to an offensive receiver. There's a countless numbers. I could go on and on about all these features that Madden has, you know, online communities, different things like that that NCAA hasn't even begun to add. And so not only are you missing out on those, you're missing out on the WoW features. You've got all these legacy bugs. It's just kind of a small, you know, step forward each year when at the same time you're leaving all of this stuff behind that you really should have brought up with you. I mean, it's kind of – it's unfortunate because the game is enjoyable, but at the same time, until you make it something that just really is a clean – not only a clean product free of bugs or minimal bugs at least – but then, as well, it has this big feature set. Until you do that, you're not going to break out of that college guy that plays in his dorm room or whatever. You're going to be stuck with the group of guys that you kind of have and adding a few here and there.
I would be interesting in knowing, and I believe Madden had put this out or some media site had said that on average, and I'd have to look it up, so I'm going to paraphrase the number here, but in Madden, at least, if I remember correctly, they say that the user typically only buys a Madden once every 3 years. And I have to guess NCAA football probably in that same ballpark. Granted, I assume that college fans might be a little more loyal, might get it each year, but I assume overall with the casual people, it's probably a similar number. It seems like it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy. EA thinks they need to add, you know, something relatively flashy like a Heisman Challenge, which we'll get to next. In my opinion, has been received a little more kindly than I thought it would. So they add in flashy features such as that. But when they don't address or add on to some of these other features, you kind of can see why somebody might not want to buy it every year. Because I've always said, no matter what the feature is, it's probably somebody's favorite. So if you're a big fan of Coaching Carousel, and you say you're a casual guy who, you know, $60 doesn't come easy, so you decide, okay, this year I'm going to buy it. So you buy NCAA Football 12, you get Coaching Carousel, you and your buddies, you like it, but you're like, boy, I wish they'd, you know, do a few things different. 13 comes out, you follow the news, and nothing changes in Carousel. Well, guess what group of guys are going to say, let's just stick with 12. You know, why? And the same with the team builder community, same with the online community. You know, again, on and on, it becomes is it a cycle? Is it a vicious cycle EA feeds into?
Like you said, the group of guys, you know, they see nothing has happened with Carousel, and there's just a plethora of things that you could do with the mode, you know. You add in quarterback coaches, special team coaches, you know, all the little coaches to where you can truly build up from just a kind of almost like a graduate assistant and then work your way up to a head coach someday. There's just so many different things you could add, and to see it not even get touched, yeah, that group of guys is just going to say, well, we got a nice dynasty here. We're in year 8, whatever. Well, let's just keep playing this until they shut the server down for 12. Then we'll have to go buy the new one.
Oh, I absolutely agree with both of y'all. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, EA can look at the analytics and say this, that, or the other because of this information. But at the same time, when you drive you know, kind of drive people to that conclusion already, then it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. It's one of those things that, you know, I buy it every year, I play it every year, I play it a lot every year, but you're not going to get everybody to be able to be of that mindset. You know, you've got to find something that really pushes and says, hey, this game, new game is awesome, let's go buy it or whatever. Things that games like Call of Duty and other things like that, no, they're not remarkably different from year to year as far as, like, you know, obviously all you're doing is you're shooting guys, you know, and you've got a storyline. But the difference is that those games have a storyline that changes from iteration to iteration. They have, you know, some updated features, and they'll bring in, you know, some tie-ins that make people want to go out and buy it. That, unfortunately, football games don't have that ability. They don't have a storyline that they can really change. I mean, Fight Night introduced something like that not too long ago, but the football games never do that, and, you know, I honestly, hopefully, they never do. But you've basically got to give them a reason to say, wow, this is a different game, I got to go out and buy it, either every year or at least every other year. Target something that says this is a completely new game that is worth my attention.
Yeah, because, I mean, with Call of Duty, not many people really mess with the single player because they can get through that in like 5 hours, and then what it is, they jump online with all their buddies and try to get as many kills as they can playing 8 hours a day or however long they play, you know. But the thing is, they keep selling because they keep continuously adding new wrinkles. Like, both Battlefield and Call of Duty introduced kind of premium things where you can get, you know, a more in-depth look at things rather than just, you know, your soldier stat screen. You know, they came out with Call of Duty and Elite and Battlefield Premium. You know, they didn't really change the formula much, maybe added a couple different game modes, but they came in the millions to spend an extra $50 to sign up for these things because it gave them a more in-depth experience. Now NCAA doesn't have to come out with a premium package of, you know, I mean, they got season tickets, so they've already got something set up to where they can kind of give you some premium things, and they have with the web, but, you know, there's just not a lot of depth there, and there's some things that they could probably add. Say, if you're running an online dynasty and you're a season ticket, if you're a commissioner of an online dynasty and you're a season ticket holder, then we're going to give you your own wiki page that pre-fills as you advance every week. Your history keeps getting built on this page. That just gives you a level of depth where you can, you know, you get in 8 seasons in a cycle, and you can look back and see how the players did at first and who was succeeding as you progress through. Just a simple thing like that can add a lot of depth, as what they did with the 2 shooter games.
I think you bring up a good point, Tommy, with the, you know, the game needs to have a wow factor. But I would also add that the game, what they haven't done a good job with historically, is just improving the basic functionality. And I know last year the big complaint functionality was menus, but I would say now that complaint may be shifting more towards accommodating the people who play it year-round. You know, the lack of commissioner options, just the lack of general options within the game for people who are the more hardcore user. And I understand that we always talk about, and by we, I mean the community at large, not the three of us, but the way we talk about, you know, casual and hardcore. But I would say that the game needs to make sure that there's a focus, and I would hope EA internally thinks of it like something like this, that it needs to be like a conveyor belt or an escalator where you bring new people on. But each year, you know, if you add a feature in, the next year you at least add something, whether it's small, whether it's addressing issues. Because, like I say, if it's somebody's favorite feature, it doesn't make any sense to add it in 1 year and tout the heck out of it, and then the next year you don't do anything. So each year you keep adding something minor, and maybe every few years, then maybe you do a major one. I think what really gets people is when something doesn't get touched at all. But if the game is kind of this conveyor belt or escalator system, you can add in a Heisman challenge, but you make everything else, like Dynasty, deeper each year. Right now, it seems like the game is more of a merry-go-round. Yeah, you're bringing in these people in, but you're also throwing them off. When you have transfer failed, OD issues, game freezes, features not getting in touch, not getting deepened, that it just turns people off. So I think right now, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I get the feeling that they're kind of in a rut where they're not building on. So if somebody buys it 1 year, there isn't really a huge reason to buy it again for 2 years. If you're not a huge football fan or huge NCAA football fan like we are, that if you're just kind of you know, let's say you're a middle-aged guy and you like to play after work for a couple hours, or maybe you and a few coworkers. What was added this year that would make you want to buy it again if you don't buy many games? And I hate to say it, but not much. But let's transition to Heisman Challenge, and that's something that I think we talked about in pre-release, and we didn't think it would be. We thought the casual crowd would get into it and that they would like it. And maybe my take on this is wrong, but I've gotten the feeling that overall it's been received more positively than we thought when we did our podcast on it a few months ago. But I think the big complaint comes in is, like Jeremy said, it's kind of Road to Glory with a former player. There's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot of unlockables or worthiness to go through and play with all 10 or 16 players, depending on if you took advantage of the pre-order deals or purchased them through DLC, that it just is relatively shallow. While I think people really like the idea, and I think this proves that there is a market and a desire for more of a historical aspect within the franchise, this should be the starting point for that and not the end point. I am kind of surprised the reaction hasn't been as harsh on it as I thought.
I think,
Tommy, what do you think? Or Jeremy, you go first. Jeremy, fire away.
Well, I think it's not been harsh, but I think it's not been really existent either. I think people just threw their hands up once they saw this and didn't really see an overwhelming value of making this the main focus of, which I think it was one of the main focuses, if not the top main focus. I mean, when you look at the opening screen, it's all talking about Heisman winners and bringing out and showing old videos, and it's not getting consistently trashed, but I think at the same time, hopefully, you know, the culture has changed to where somebody is just not consistently bitching about the same thing over and over. I think it's just gotten to the point where, okay, it's here. Okay, we there's not much to it, so us trophy whores will grind through it, because that's what it is. I've already gone through with RG3, and I'm about halfway through with Barry Sanders, and there's just not much. You play the game, you advance. You know, you maybe go look at yourself on the Heisman board, then you go play the game in advance. You can maybe go back and look at those medals. Kind of cool to see how many times you got the medals, but I mean, it's like a quick glance. I mean, the videos are kind of cool, but you know, the videos are like 30 seconds long. There's not much really in depth to them. They just pop up 30 seconds talking about something, and then you move on. And I think at most there's 5 videos for each person. So I think it's the community, the way I see it, I don't know if you guys see it differently, but the way I see it, they already knew what they got ahead of time just because there wasn't really much else different added to the aspects of this. And so it's more of, okay, it's on the back burner now. We're just going to move on with what we want.
Well, I think there's several factors here at play. For one thing, I think actually some people are finding entertainment in it. Not necessarily sim guys or them expecting it to be, you know, hardcore guys, but at the same time they're finding it kind of the same entertainment we had with it in January, was just simply try to make it an arcade game, just try to be ridiculous with the stats, score 11 touchdowns in a game, and so on and so forth. And I think they're finding some entertainment in that. For the most part, though, I think most people have just simply accepted the fact, like JB said, it's they've just accepted that it's here, can't do anything about it at this point. It was a marketing feature, so just have to accept it. And then the other side of the coin is I know that I myself definitely realized very early on, and probably other guys realized very early on, is that it's just simply, it's not necessarily even a new mode. It's just simply Road to Glory with these other guys, with these, you know, Heisman winners. And because of that, it's basically a very small feature that allowed them to have a pre-built marketing campaign. That's pretty much what it comes down to, is this is a mode that just became a marketing campaign. And I think, you know, some guys probably realize that, and probably also realize that we are not the focus of what marketing campaigns are going to be around. So these features are going to kind of, you know, slap us in the face, so to speak.
I would say to that, I agree that we're not the market for this. But I think, and I've seen a few people mention this online, and maybe I'm not seeing more of this, and you guys let me know if I'm off base on this. It kind of floors me in a way that they didn't also add on to this with, make the game Heisman focused, period. Not just this Heisman challenge to the side. Have a Heisman ceremony for every game mode, Dynasty, Road Glory, Heisman challenge. Didn't get that. To me, that's a real head scratcher. Then you go into the game, And maybe the Heisman watch list starts the year with 10 guys and then gets paired to 5, so more players and users feel like they have a shot. Perhaps you have commentators reference Heisman contenders who are playing in the game. Just minor things. You know, if you're going to add something like this, at least try to put something related to Heisman for the quote-unquote hardcore guys who play Dynasty. I mean, this is really kind of off by itself, and that's where, to me, any feature that's added, if there's a possibility for kind of a thread of that to go incorporated into other modes, you take advantage of it. And to me, it seems like they didn't do that. And the no ceremony is the one that, and I know that's not the difference between a 80 Metacritic and a 90. I'm not saying that. But when you have Heisman, the Heisman Trophy on the cover of your game and two former Heisman winners, I don't know how you can put that on there and not have a ceremony in the game.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of those other things that, again, taking things to the next level and showing that, you know, dedicating this year to making it a great game. I mean, whether it's adding the Heisman, you know, trophy celebration or, you know, any number of different things, it's like when NBA 2K brought in the Legends mode, they didn't just simply tack this on top of, you know, an existing mode. To my understanding, granted, I've never played it, so I can't say firsthand, but to my understanding, they basically created a Legends mode where you replayed old games to where you, you know, kind of relive the experiences that are built around these Legends. And then they also brought in not only the Legends that you know, but then also some of the other players that were surrounded by these Legends. You know, the Bill Paxtons and the Steve Kerrs, you know, players that aren't going to garner attention themselves, but at the same time, they're going to make this a true experience and make it, you know, a very fully fleshed out mode.
That's one of those things I think where not having real players or a license hurts them. Jeremy, you've played Heisman Challenge a little bit. Let me give you an idea here, and you tell me if this would add a little bit to the mode. I know it's not going to, like I said, be a huge Metacritic bump. One thing I thought playing the mode, it would have been so cool if you put your winner on his team. So Barry Sanders, you've been with Oklahoma State. Perhaps you give the uniform option for the 88 Oklahoma State roster. Whatever they wore in 88, that's an option if you put Barry on that team. If you that way, you can play the games in the 88 uniforms. I would have to imagine out there, if that were possible, it would really spur some young, hungry roster editor to go in there, take the base roster that somebody else, like Big Y or somebody else has created, or Fairdale Kings has created, go in there and make the entire 1988 Oklahoma State roster. Because now in his world, he can say, okay, you know, EA says I can put Barry Sanders on Oklahoma State today. Well, I'm going to make it so I can take Oklahoma State from 88, the entire team, and put them against the real world today. I would have to think that more tie-ins like that, maybe old school logos from Oklahoma State and when you're in that mode, for example. Just some minor things like that, I would have to think would go a ways, and maybe you make those unis an unlockable for beating it with Barry Sanders. I know it's minor and doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but I would have to think something minor along those lines would add a lot.
Well, if you maybe condense down the number of people that were in the Heisman Challenge, maybe knock it down to 4 or 6, take what you said about a guy that has the ability to edit the 88 team, but instead of just having it a one-off season trying to go for the Heisman, I say make a career out of it, you know.
That's a good idea.
Have it where you're passing the torch from Barry Sanders to Thurman Thomas. And you're taking control of Thurman Thomas now, you know, and the first year after Barry leaves and gets the Heisman, you still continue, you know, bring those old elements back. I mean, NBA 2K did a great thing with, I think it was Bill Russell's, where everything was black and white and grainy. They had a nice little filter on it, you know, so you had a little, you know, so you could have maybe a kind of a Technicolor kind of look for the early 80s, mid 80s teams. And on top of that, you know, you got the ability to edit a whole different time period, and you can go out and relive those days. You know, the Big Eight with Oklahoma State, you know, and it's, you know, you still got the Southwestern Athletic Conference in there, you know, things like that. Something like that would have really made a kind of a Heisman Challenge really stand out and. Because it would have a lot of depth. You're going through multiple seasons. You're basically traveling back in time, and you know you got the old Big Eight logo flashing as you got Oklahoma State and Nebraska playing. You know.
Yeah, I think you make excellent points. Instead of making it all of this large number of Heisman guys, focus on, you know, 3, 4, 5, whatever, have they're just recreate that 1 year with their schedule. Don't necessarily have to get, you know, licenses for the other players, but just simply, you know, kind of create generic guys that kind of fill the roster for you and have their actual schedule from that year that they won the Heisman, have their correct uniforms, you know, like you said, a presentation aspect that makes it look like 1988 television, you know, and also equipment, you know, the equipment of the players to make it look like they are back in 1988. And then on top of that, make these players truly represent the players that they're representing for that matter. Like they basically said themselves, all of these players are is just simply juiced up versions of other players. You know, you don't have the actual Barry Sanders running style. You just simply tacked him on top of a speedy running back and then juiced him up. You know, that kind of just is, to me, just shows that, again, this is just a tacked-on mode. They didn't go through and make these players look or feel individual. They gave them faces, but they didn't give them, you know, the actual throwing motion that these players use. They didn't give them the running styles that they use or anything like that. It just simply, again, just to me, is a cheap way to make it a marketing campaign.
So the game is sitting at an 81 and 76 Metacritic right now. EA has said that 90 or higher is their goal for everything. So granted, if you put this average together, it's not the highest in the world, and it's not near that 90 bar that they came relatively close back with NC Football 11. They had an 86. I think a couple of late reviews knocked it down, although it was pretty close. 12 and 13 now in that low 80 range. What happens here? I know we're not on the inside, and this is all speculation and guess. Is this a wake-up call? Is this maybe they have bigger plans for 14 that this was just biding time for? But what do you think happens here, Jeremy?
With all the problems that 12 had out of the gate, we thought maybe that was biding time for 13, and we were kind of wrong there. So we got to go through the same thing again. We're thinking this is biding time for 14 because with the new Infinity Engine, and hopefully they actually take a look at some team builder and carousel things. But those are just things that we should expect. On top of that, we got to have something unknown that we're given, you know, that's going to completely wow us. Something that's really, honestly, it's lacked since Online Dynasty. We haven't had anything that's really completely wowed us yet, and we've just gotten things that have been added on and then never touched again. And so we kind of thought, okay, well, maybe 13 is going to be the year, and it's kind of stumbled out of the gate as well with all the bugs and such, and really not a key trigger to say, this is what made NCAA Football 13.
Tommy.
There's basically two directions, or three directions, I guess. One, keep the status quo, kind of just, you know, what we've seen recently is just keep kind of pushing the cart forward, so to speak. The other option is to really put a focus on the game and to really blow us out and really surprise us and make this a year that NCAA gets all the talk at E3 and that kind of thing. But then the third option they could do is they see, well, you know, it's not cost effective for us to put very much more money in this game, so we'll, you know, stop making it or something. Especially considering the fact of, you know, the whole NCAA licensing and player likeness and stuff like that, you know, I could see that actually coming to fruition, especially with them now no longer having the exclusive license after next year. It's something that could happen, and it'd be unfortunate, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you've got to spend money to make money, and EA's at a point to where they have to decide how much money they want to spend on this.
Well, those are good points by each of you. The only thing I say is, Tommy, I don't think it's going to go anytime soon, not unless sales completely tank. And granted, I haven't seen how 13 fared out of the gate selling or whatnot. But we know 12 had, I believe, record sales out of the gate. 13 will be interesting to see what the sales were. And like you mentioned with the license, they don't have the exclusive license, but I can't imagine any other company getting into it with the licensing costs that EA is probably safe with that settlement that they reached in that Madden lawsuit. So July had a lot of expectations. People were looking forward to NC Football 13 on July 10th, and they were also looking forward to The Dark Knight Rises on July 20th. If you have not seen the movie yet, quit listening to the show. We're going to talk about the movie and give our thoughts. It's our fun topic to wrap up the show. So if you haven't seen it, we'll see you next time on the show. All right, The Dark Knight Rises is out. A lot of anticipation after The Dark Knight with the Joker and Heath Ledger. People wondered, how are they going to top this? I've seen reviews for this one also kind of all over the map. Let's just get our thoughts on it. Tommy, what did you think of the movie?
To me, it was good, but not nearly as what reviews and critics and things like that were making it out to be. It's good, especially for Nolan, but at the same time, I had higher expectations, and it definitely does not live up to the second Batman, The Dark Knight. It kind of, you know, wraps up the story, but at the same time, it doesn't give me that wow factor or anything like that. It's kind of one of those, to me, the story carried on too long. Second, he spent too much time in the movie without kind of really, you know, like they'll jump forward 6 months in the movie in a period of 5 minutes, it seemed like. And just, you know, a lot of little quirks that just simply left me with the feeling that they could have done so much better, or even, and I know they probably wouldn't have wanted to do this, and fans probably wouldn't have wanted them to do this, but make it into two different movies. It felt like it was long enough for two movies, but at the same time, not fully developed enough that they should have done it for two movies.
I thought The Dark Knight Rises was an excellent movie. It wasn't, you know, like Tommy said, some of the reviews were like, best movie, one of the best movies of all time. It's not one of the best movies of all time. Probably one of the better movies that we're going to see this year, next to Magic Mike.
Your punishment must be more severe.
But obviously The Dark Knight was the best one in the series. I wasn't disappointed, though. I think it helped a lot going to the marathon. I think that definitely helped, because The Dark Knight Rises did a good job of coming full circle. And on top of that, it took two very iconic arcs in the comic storylines and put them into the film, and, you know, tied everything together with Batman Begins. You know, they took the arc with Bane and destroying Batman. And then they also took the arc, I can't remember the arc off the top of my head, but where basically Gotham is in complete anarchy. And they did a very good job with both of those different pieces of the comic and fusing them into Nolan's trilogy. There were times where maybe you just didn't get that epic conclusion feel of it, but then once the movie ended, once you saw Robin basically get the directions to the Batcave, you see Bruce and Selina overseas, and Alfred said it was his wish to see him overseas, but, you know, just sitting there relaxed, and they don't even acknowledge each other. You know, those things at the end of the movie really kind of tied everything together good, and also left us with, is that really going to be it for Nolan?
I would say I thought it was a very good movie, but also, like you guys mentioned, there were some quirks and some odd things that kind of thought, boy, they could have done a better job. And I think, to put it in a nutshell, the character development at times and just the movement of the plot, it really was up and down at times. I thought that the character of Miranda Tate just seemed very forced, and without that development behind it, you didn't feel the shock at the twist or the reveal towards the end of who she really, really is. I thought that Tom Hardy as Bane and Anne Hathaway as Selina Kyle, I thought they did a really good job. And that was the big concern for the longest time, is how are they going to be in those as those characters? And I thought they each did a fine job, but I felt, especially in the case of Selina, not enough development, not enough, I don't know if I wouldn't say not enough screen time, but when she's on there, there wasn't a lot of development. So to me, that was some of the issues with the movie, that I'm kind of like Tommy, there was a time where I thought they almost could have made two movies out of this, that it was just long enough that I can understand they probably cut out a lot of good stuff. But the thing is, Nolan doesn't like that stuff to be on DVDs or shown again or in a special version. So we're never going to see what got cut, which sucks. But that's the way he is. That I can see where you're coming from, Tommy, where it almost could have been two movies. It could have been The Fall of Batman and then The Rise and the fourth one. One thing I thought they were going for is I think they really wanted you to, when Bruce finally, you know, comes out of his 8-year stupor and puts back on the suit, I think they wanted us to kind of, you know, be like clamoring for it. And when it happens, just be, you know, the viewer to be excited. And I didn't get that. It just seemed like he went from barely able to walk to this magic magnetic knee brace that he bought from the infomercial overnight. And he was back on the Batpod and back to business as usual. that it was just too quick and there wasn't that feeling of finally. And I think that's what they wanted to do, but they just didn't do a very good job with it. So July was a busy month between NC Football 13 and The Dark Knight Rises. Those are our thoughts on each. Make sure to share your thoughts with us at thegamingtailgate.com. On behalf of Jeremy and Tommy, I'm Chris. Everyone, thanks for listening.